Welcome to the Running in the Center of the Universe podcast. I'm Ashland Dave, and I'm recording live from my podcast studio in Ashland, Virginia. Thanks for coming along. And this is Ashland Dave, and this is the Running in the Center of the Universe podcast, episode 175. It's the first week of April 2013. I want to thank you for coming along. 175 shows. That's, I guess, a bit of a milestone, I would think. Who would have thought that when I started this podcast back in, I think it was March of 2008, that I would even get this far. So, yeah, episode 200's coming up. Who knows when that will happen. But I will be around for that, and certainly welcome you to come back show after show to enjoy all that Ashland Dave here in the Running in the Center of the Universe podcast has to offer, which is hopefully useful information. Okay, well, this week we're going to talk about race directing and in lieu of running a race. I've got the, at least for me, it's a real big deal, the 35th running of the Ashland Railroad Run coming up on Saturday, April 27th, just a few weeks away. Third year I've directed this race, fourth year I've been heavily involved in it, and for several years now I've either run it or been involved with it. I ran it for several years, kind of sporadically. I didn't really run it year after year before I got involved, and then once I took over, and it's been a lot of fun. Now, I'm a co-race director. I have to, in all honesty, have to include that. I co-race direct the event with a lady named Tamara Bardwell, and this is the third year that we have co-race directed it. But it's easier just to say that you direct a race as opposed to you co-direct a race, because it's just easier to say direct the race. And I've said this before, as I've talked about race directing in previous podcasts, it's just easier to say that you're in charge of it. And in some of my comments today, I'll talk about the benefit of having a co-race director to divide up tasks, and that way someone else is there to share the burden with you, so you don't feel like the weight of the whole thing is on your shoulders. Also going to talk a little bit about 18 miler I did with Mechanicsville Dave a week and a half ago or so, that went by really fast. Even though it took us over 3 hours to do it, it seemed like it was in an instant. Just great conversation with him, a lot of hill repeats in that. And then we'll get to the email bag section of the show, which I heard from Sandy, Dr. Smitty, and a couple others, so I will get to that. So if you've ever thought about directing a race, definitely look into that, and don't just shy away from that. It's a very rewarding experience, intrinsically rewarding, and to see people have so much fun at an event that you put on is kind of hard to describe in words how good it makes you feel inside. It's an exhausting feeling, but it's a very rewarding feeling, and I guess in some ways in life, that's really all we're looking for is, you know, to feel good about stuff, and certainly being the race director of a big event has that happen. The Ashland Railroad Run is, like I've said, is in its 35th year, and it's kind of evolved. Well, obviously anything that's gone on for this long is going to evolve. And I've just been involved with just a small, you know, small number of years of, compared to how long this thing's been going on. It started at, let's see, the first year was 1979, and it started at Randolph-Macon College and kind of went from there. It outgrew that venue and eventually was adopted by the Hanover Arts and Activities Center as a fundraiser. And the Hanover Arts and Activities Center is a organization of which I sit on the board. I'm in my second term. And it's kind of a community center slash meeting room, wedding reception place. Yeah, there's music lessons there, art lessons there. There's, you know, rooms in the building for instruction. There's a preschool down in the basement. There are lots of things at the Hanover Arts and Activities Center. There's shows in the summer. It's HAAC is the acronym. We call it the HAC. The HAC sponsors the town's 4th of July celebration out on the lawn of the HAC and has a people parade. It's kind of the center of this small town that we live in of about 7,000 people, affectionately known as the center of the universe. So some people actually call the Hanover Arts Activity Center the center of the center, meaning the center of the center of the universe. So I like calling it the HAC, although there is a movement to kind of rename it the center, and that's what the sign out front says. But when I first got involved with this organization, I was a little leery because I guess you could say I kind of always viewed it as a bit of a liberal group. And I was, you know, wary about getting too involved. You know, that was for other people to, you know, it was for other people to figure out ways to put on, you know, craft classes or art classes or music classes. That wasn't really my thing. But I always did like the Ashland Railroad Run. And so I knew that there was a part of me that that knew if I did get involved with the board, and I was asked to join. I didn't seek it myself. I was actually asked. And I knew I could somehow get involved with the railroad run and learn how it worked. And because I do have an interest in kind of managing races, it's kind of an evolving interest. So I got involved the first term. I was just on the race committee. We had to redo the course, and then of course now I'm directing the race, and it's just been so much fun. I met people that I otherwise wouldn't have met because we just kind of come from different sides of the track, so to speak. And it's been a really rewarding experience, and really being involved with the race was great. And the Hack also does Halloween stuff for the kids. It's got what else? There's all kinds of events that happen over the course of the year. And it's family-oriented, so it's been a very good thing to be involved with. And, of course, the railroad run is just an offshoot of that. So here we are in the 35th year, which is pretty remarkable. As the race evolved, it kind of at one point in time, it crossed over the railroad tracks, and people would get split. They'd get held up when a passing train would halt everybody up. So there was, always then the obvious complaints of people got hung up by the train and didn't get their finishing time and whatnot. And then as years went on, the course got certified and it all stayed on one side of the railroad track. So that didn't happen. And then 2 years ago, we introduced chip timing after there was an incident with the timing company that we don't use anymore, where the results just weren't getting posted. And it was just an old way of doing things, and we were ready to move on. And I'm not really going to get into that aspect too much because it's just kind of a soft, subject. But now we use metal events, chip timing, and they've been spectacular. And the guys got great personalities that we deal with down there. So we're at to a point now where the managing the race has almost got to a point where it's just kind of a race directing in a box, so to speak. Although someone still has to perform all the tasks, and the planning for the race extends all the way back to November of 2012, when it's really according to the checklist that I've made up that I inherited from Tammy Prophet, who was the previous race director, and before that was Joanne Hunter, and before that was Meriwether Gilmore, and before that I just don't remember. Everybody adds a little bit more as they encounter things that need to be done or tweak things. And so I'm going to share some of these tasks with you if you have any interest in race directing. And, of course, there is. I'm sure, you could probably Google race directing 101 and get a lot of the same information. But what I'll do is I will email my checklist to anybody that wants it who's planning on to put on a race, just to see what I do. I'm not going to go through every little item here, but I'm going to highlight some of the things that maybe were kind of interesting or had some funny stories behind them. And you can email me at ashlanddave@gmail.com, and I'll be happy to send this out to you. It's in a MacBook Pro text document, which I think would translate to Word if you're interested. So send me an email at ashlanddave@gmail.com if you're interested in that. Really the biggest first thing you got to do in November or even December, and this would be, four to 5 months before your event, is try to get people to serve on a race committee. Don't do everything yourself. I found that that's just really not the way to go. And if you live in an area where you have to submit any kind of, outdoor festival permit to local, authorities, the town or county or whatever, definitely get that in the works too. Because sometimes if you have food, you might have to get the health department to sign off on that. You might have to get a police chief or a county sheriff or designee or somebody to sign off on it. And these are local government institutions which are not on your timeline. So get that thing started really early. And also, if you're going to use a timing company, go ahead and set that up. Get on their calendar. You don't have to sign a contract with them yet or anything, but if you get on their calendar and get them to kind of verbally promise that they're going to do your timing, you got to do that, because the timing companies book. They book up because people are using these chip timing companies now. because everybody expects that instant gratification of that email to be sent to their handheld device as soon as they cross the finish line. And, you know, you want your event to be that way too, because you want people to come back to your event and help you raise money. If you're if this is an annual event for you to raise money or just to have fun, you know, you want people to come back. You want the same people to come back. So you want them to kind of get what they expect, which is instantly know what their race time is, because that technology is there and that's what people expect. So you want to get on the calendar with your local officials, police chief or county administrator, whoever runs things in your area. You want to get with them and make sure, if you're closing the roads, that's really if you're closing the roads, or if you're using a county park or something like that, or a state park. Now, a big thing that is a little bit controversial, but not really, is the blast email to everybody you know to get them to save that date once you set get on a race date. And what happens when you send out the blast email, inevitably some of those emails get stuck in people's spam folders or whatever. Hey, you know what? You can't help that. Some people don't like to get those blast emails. Well, you know, hey, hit the delete button. You know, you can't stop those types of emails, just like you can't stop all this crap that comes in your regular mailbox from, you know, Pizza Hut coupons and the, you know, these stupid ads that you get for useless stuff. I've actually gotten to the point now where stuff that comes in the mailbox that we're not even going to use, it just goes right in the recycling bin outside before it even comes in the house, because that way we won't even have to worry about taking it back out. You got to decide on your race fee. How much are you going to charge? Is your race fee going to go up close as the date gets closer? One thing I found through doing this railroad run is if your race fee goes up $10 closer to the date, people don't really care that much about that. But if it went up $20, I think people would care more about that. For example, we open up our race registration for $25. That hasn't changed since I've been involved in the race. And let's see, the 13th of this month, which is 2 weeks before race day, it's going to go up to $35. I don't really anticipate a huge rush of people the night before the race fee goes up, because some people still register on race day and they don't really care that it's $35. But what it is, it's just more revenue for your event, for your fundraising. So it's really not that big of a deal. And of course, like I said earlier, get people to serve on the race committee. Now, who are these people? Well, these are your friends, people who like to run, people who volunteer for other races. These are the people that you want to get on your race committee, and you want it to be about five or six people, maybe seven or eight, so you can assign some subtasks. Now, some of these subtasks are T-shirts. Are you going to have T-shirts for your event? Are you going to put up posters to advertise it? Who's going to handle registration, whether you do it electronically or it's all by registration form, you know, with paper? Someone's got to do these things if you're not. Are you going to have any other events? For example, a kids race. These have become very popular because people like to bring their kids. And, you know, where else do kids get to race except for at these kids races? You know, I'm talking about elementary school kids. The elementary schools don't have any races for sports or anything. There's no track teams like there is football and soccer and everything for little kids. So these kids races are important, and they bring in revenue. And kids have a great time. And all you got to do is have a little prize for the kids that win, or for some little kids, if it's you know, it's a real big deal for them to finish a mile, even if they walk some of it. Sometimes it's nice to have a little token for them just to finish, you know, in the spirit of like the marathon. Everybody gets a medal that finishes the marathon. And I'm kind of anti, you know, everybody's a winner type of thing. But I think if, you know, kids 10 and under can run a mile, I think they ought to get a little prize. And, of course, you can have something a little bit bigger for your for the winners, and we have a trophy for the top boy and girl in our kids race, and then everybody else gets a little ribbon just to indicating that they participated. Another big deal from the very beginning is if you can get a committee, is to get someone to handle your social media stuff. We have tried over the last couple of years to utilize Facebook more. I'm not a big Facebook person on a daily basis. I got nothing against it. I don't have a handheld device, so I'm not, you know, constantly, I'm not able to check these things that much, and I don't communicate with people over the course of the day through social media. I do recognize that it's an important component, and so we tried to do something with the Facebook. We did get some inquiries through Facebook, and in some ways we didn't really know how to handle those. So that's something we could definitely improve on. But I think that's really the way to go in the future, is to utilize the social media to constantly get the word out about your race, almost to the point of ad nauseum, where people register just to so they quit getting your messages. Another big so that's really kind of four to five months before your event. You just want to kind of start setting the seed with people, get them to start thinking about your date, get some people who can commit to being involved with your event, especially on a committee. And if at all possible, get yourself a co-race director like Tamara and I do. It really just splits the burden of everything. And not to mention, you have someone to share your share the glory when you have a great event. You know, because working with other people is a lot more fun than working by yourself. Now, sponsorships are always a hard thing to get. You got to just designate one person to do that. I would have somebody on the committee do that. Don't try to do that yourself. These are just obviously people who will help sponsor your race, and then you can get their logo and put it on your shirt or any of your literature if you're handing out stuff. And, of course, you got to have a gimmick, a race logo, a theme. And a couple of years ago, like, we have a logo, which I'm going to put on the website at ashlanddave.podbean.com. I'm going to make a note of that. Well, actually, I don't know if I can really put the logo on there. I'll put the link to the race stuff, which I think I've been doing already. Ashlanddave.podbean.com is the site, the website to find the link to the race. Or you can go to raceit.com and search for the event just by typing railroad, and it'll come up and you'll see the logo. You got to have a logo or some kind of gimmick to call your race. And obviously, ours is the Ashland Railroad Run, which really is comprised of three events, so we could probably start calling it the Railroad Runs. Not really a play on of diarrhea or anything like that, but anyway, if we called it the Ashland Railroad Runs, that would incorporate the 10K, 5K, and kids race. And we have a train, and we have a little badge on there that indicates that it's the 35th running, 1979 through 2013. And our logo is Race the Rail, Race the Train Rail. And Tammy Prophet, one of the previous race directors, came up with that a couple years ago, and we just totally ran with it. Always credit her with that because I think it's awesome. And I think it's just a cool way to call the race. And so that's our logo and our theme. And that's something I recommend developing once you get a race or get an idea. It's got to be centered around something that people can kind of think is neat and gimmicky. And so our gimmick is Race the Rail. And from that has, and I'm proud to announce this really for the first time on the podcast, is that this year we have added the COTU Challenge, which stands for the Center of the Universe Challenge, COTU. And that is for only $10 more, you can race both races, the 5K and the 10K. I don't think you could probably do the kids race as well. That'd be if you could run the 5K under 15 minutes. Because the 5K starts at 8 a.m., the kids race is at 8:15, and then the 10K is at 9. I think there was some interest in this a couple years ago on the race committee. I can't really remember who had it. But it was an idea. I think it was actually former race director Tammy Prophet. She had suggested that it was an idea to maybe see if people could do both. You give them a discount or something. I can't remember what we had talked about. But Tom Grant, who is one of the regular listeners of the podcast and one of my colleagues in marathoning and ultra-marathoning, came up with the idea. We met with Tamara and I met with him last weekend, maybe the weekend before, over at Starbucks to kind of get it going. And we came up with that theme, Center of the Universe Challenge. And that's you come in, you start the 5K at 8 o'clock, you race that, you recover, you race the 10K. And I think what Tom's going to do is for the people that finish that, maybe I'm kind of tipping my hand a little bit here, but I think he's going to get them a growler from the Center of the Universe Brewing Company. That's one of those big jugs of beer. So we'll see if he's able to do that. Hopefully he's able to. And so that's open. That's the new this year. And you can go to raceit.com, type in railroad to search for the event. And you can find the information on that. Or you can go to Hanover Arts and Activity Center, which is hanoverarts.org. And then scroll down. You'll find the information on the railroad run. And you can go to the registration page and register for the Center of the Universe Challenge, which this is the first year for that. And I think we've got about five people interested in so far. And the good thing about that is you can just pay your extra $10 on race day and get into the other event. So if you got a website for your race, you have obviously have to update that as time goes on. You got to keep that thing updated. And if you get maps, you got to put your maps on there. When you open registration, again, you got to send out that blast. I guess the clothes are ready in the dryer. You got to send out, let people know registration's open, get the word out. You got to get somebody to serve water at your event. We use Diamond Springs. They don't charge us, but we just put their logo on our shirt and our literature and mention them in announcements. You got to get food. I've contacted running clubs around the area to get on their calendar, one being the Richmond Road Runners, and then we look outside the area. Some of the examples are the Tidewater Striders. Many thanks to Dr. Smitty for getting us on that calendar. Run Washington, the Roanoke Runners Club, Charlottesville Track Club, Blue Ridge Runners, Williamsburg Area Runners, Shenandoah Runners, Fredericksburg Area Runners. These are, you know, you just contact their calendar, their race president. Sometimes they'll put it on there just via email. Sometimes you can post it yourself by becoming a member or something of the site. And other places won't contact you back at all. So you really just got to be persistent if you want to get out on these other calendars. And I really do recommend that, because you want to get the word out for your race. You don't just want 50 people to show up. For the Railroad Run, we have generally between 500 and 700 people participate in the three events, and that's kind of a medium size event. That's probably about all we can handle with parking and volunteers. Maybe we might be able to handle a little bit more. I think the 5K is really the future of our event. We've made it a race this year as opposed to just a fun walk, because what we've noticed is that people have been racing it. And so this year we're going to have a trophy for the top woman and top man. All right, well, you got to have door prizes. You got to make those available if you want to do that. So you got to have somebody that's got to go out and solicit for those. You got to T-shirts, get estimates. You know, a couple years ago the trend was the technical shirt. One thing I heard when I was volunteering down at the Graveyard 100 was that there was one of the guys down there was talking about how he's tired of technical shirts. He's got drawers full of them. What he wants now is some cotton shirts that he can wear with jeans, because he's got all these technical shirts and he doesn't run every day of the week, so he doesn't wear those every day of the week, but he wants more cotton shirts. So what we decided this year was that we thought we would go with kind of a blend. And then, of course, you got to figure out how you're going to put the logo on the shirt. Are you going to have anything on the sleeve? You're going to put the logo centered on the front? You're going to have it kind of smaller over a chest pocket type of thing? There's all kinds of variables there, and you know, it's something you got to decide on kind of early on. Now, if your course is complicated, once you figure out what your race course is going to be, if it's kind of complicated, which some of them are, ours is a double loop course, and we invariably always have people that get lost, a couple people, two or three, that don't do the course right. It just happens. Because people really, frankly, they're not paying attention to what they're doing. They don't, frankly, people don't pay attention to your emails that you send out advising them of the course, to be familiar with the course, to come out and check out the course. A lot of them just show up on race day and they just trust that the marshals are going to tell them where to go. And our marshals do. We train them. We have a marshals meeting before the event, let them know, you know, how to handle this double loop course and how to direct runners and to be looking out for people they've already seen. And over the last 3 years of the new course, well, it's not new anymore, we've only had, I think, four people who have done it wrong. And you're talking, you know, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people that have run this route. So that being said, it's still good to have a lead vehicle or a lead cyclist or someone on a scooter or anything. And we have somebody that leads the race for us, and he does a great job. We used to have someone who he dresses up in this green suit. It's very bizarre, and he leads the race in this green suit complete with mask and helmet and everything, and he used to ride a scooter, but now he rides this double-decker bicycle that is really a sight to see. And that's Jeff Ryle, who's one of our local characters here. So you're going to want your leaders to know where to go and not have, you know, for there's no confusion whatsoever for your leaders, people that are competing for your prize money or for your prizes, if you have, you know, donated prizes or whatever, we get gift certificates donated. You want to make sure that there's no doubt where they go. And then for the people who are behind them, they just kind of follow the pack. So, you know, also have to decide, what are you going to do for prizes? You're going to have gift certificates for overall male, female winners. This year, I'm proud to announce that a store named Lucky Foot has donated $1,000 in gift certificates for our race. So we're going to figure out the best way to handle that, to spread it all around to people that are top performers. And I really, it's almost too good to be true. I want to confirm it again, but we're going to have a pretty decent prize package this year for the winners of the 10K. And the reason we don't want to do the same prizes for the winners of the 5K is conceivably if someone did the Coatue Challenge, they could win the 5K and the 10K if they're really fast. And I don't really want to give them additional prizes. I kind of want to spread it around. So maybe what we might do is come up with a different prize for the just trophies for the 5K winners. And if that continues to be a growing event, then we'll come up with some a prize associated with some monetary value on that. Okay, porta-johns. You got to figure out, are you going to have porta-johns? What we do is, since we have a building that has three bathrooms in it, we also put four porta-johns outside of our headquarters. And then the start line, since that is approximately two blocks to the north of our headquarters area, we put two porta-johns up there next to the starting line. You have to arrange places for your participants to park if you don't have a parking lot, or if it's not obvious where people park. Traditionally, hasn't been parking issues in Ashland because there's lots of street parking, but your event might be different. Do you need police assistance? In our case, we have town police that help us because the race starts and finishes in the town. However, on the first leg of the race, it goes out into Hanover County and then turns around and comes back. So we have to hire a deputy from the sheriff's office to close the road at that point where the 10K race turns around. And for our 5K, so we don't have any traffic on the course there or very limited traffic. So you have to, in our case, we have to actually contact two police agencies to get that done. And then with that, are you going to throw out any complimentary registration forms to your local law enforcement? That's something that we do. I think it's the right thing to do. We give, since Hanover Sheriff's Office is much larger, we give them 10 complimentary race registration forms. We give Ashland Police Department 5, and I've gotten 8 back from the sheriff's office already. So it's definitely something that's appreciated, and it's always good to be nice to the police. So that's really what you got to do. Really, just up to 3 months out, and I don't really want to go on and on and on. I've still got 2 more pages of stuff on my checklist, but I guess. I'm just going to highlight some of the other things that you might consider is local media coverage. We're lucky that we have 2 local papers here in Hanover and Ashland that will do articles, human interest articles, somebody has to write those. And if you can't write those yourself, especially if you want to kind of feature a little bit of an interview with the race director, it's kind of hard to interview yourself. So you got to get somebody else to do that. And we're very fortunate that we have a local columnist who writes for the local Ashland paper called the Herald Progress. That's Meriwether that I've mentioned before. She has written articles before for us, and she's going to do that again this year. And this year it's going to be about the history of the race, kind of commemorating the 35th year, kind of how the race came through over the years, and some of the changes. And I think that'll be an interesting article. And that's all geared to get more people to register really during that last week of the race, and to get the word out that, hey, roads are going to be closed around your neighborhood and you might not be able to get out that morning, so you need to plan accordingly. And another thing we do in addition to that is we do a neighborhood letter to everybody who lives on the course. And this is a little bit of an undertaking because it takes quite a bit of time to get out there and get that letter delivered. And what we do is we elicit the help of some local kids that just live in the neighborhood and go around and put those letters in everybody's mailbox. So that's definitely something. And then your race bibs, what are you going to do about race bibs? You're going to get the free ones from Runner's World that come with all the other literature that you got to hand out? Or are you going to get specialized bibs with your logo on it to kind of make it a little bit of a souvenir? Because some people save race bibs. Are you going to jazz them up, make them a different color? Or what are you going to do? And if you have the chips, you got to get those bibs and get them sent down to your chip timing company so they can put the chips on the back. What we do is we have specialized race bibs for each year with the date and our logo on it, because that's just the way we like to do it. And another reason is I like to save race bibs from stuff I'm involved in. And what I do is I just take one of the extra race bibs, I write race director on it, and I staple it up on the wall in my garage so I can look at it, because that's what I do with race bibs. And it's really not that much that too much more expensive to order your own race bibs, or you can go the free route, and I think you can get them from Runner's World, and I think you the only agreement is you got to hand out a bunch of crap to your people. We try to minimize some of the paper, so that's why we don't do that. I'm just looking at my my list here. Do you need a PA system to make your announcements? Do you need a megaphone? Are you going to have someone sing the national anthem? Do you have people at the finish line to volunteer to help the timing company to as a computer backup? Do you have a banner that you use to advertise the race in front of your the building where the headquarters is? Do you have a way to put a banner up anywhere in your community to advertise the race? Do you have people to go put the posters up and get the word out on your race? Yesterday I put up 10 posters in area businesses, and I just carry the posters around with me with tape. And when I feel the urge to go ask somebody, hey, can I put this up in your store window? You know, that's what I do. Really, that's the biggest thing, is you got to look for the places that are that allow other people to put up community stuff in their windows, and then you go say, hey, can I put this up there also? I guess that's about it at this point. I've looking at my last sheet here, which nothing's checked off, and that's for April and race week and day. And so I'm not at that stuff yet. And of course, you always want to be able to know what your course records are. And the cool thing about our now that with this new course is I've got all the course records from each year. And so what we're looking at on our for our 10K. Is we're looking at a course record of 40 minutes and 26 seconds. That's the female. And then the course record for the men is was done in 2010, which is 33 minutes and 57 seconds. So I wonder if we'll have a new course record this year or not. I'm not really sure. I have not seen that guy, Darren Simpson. I've not seen him come back. So I don't know where he lives now. He's out of Crewe, Virginia. I think he was a college runner at the time. So, well, I'm not going to bore you anymore with race directing. As you can see, I've just talked for probably 30 minutes straight about all the stuff, and I could go on for another half hour at least about all the stuff that we have not done yet. But I want to change gears a little bit and talk about the Monument Avenue 10K, which is coming up on April 13th, and our race is 2 weeks after that. We really try to piggyback off people who have trained for that, and what we'll do at the expo at the Monument Avenue 10K is we'll go put flyers on people's cars to get the word out about our race. Now, there is a little bit of controversy, at least in my own head, about whether we should do that or not. I do not like it when I get flyers on my car because to me they just turn into litter and I don't like litter. However, we got to get the word out about our race, and we really want to piggyback off people's enthusiasm for doing the Monument Avenue 10K, which, if I'm not mistaken, I think is the fifth largest 10K or fifth largest road race in the country. It's got over 40,000 participants. It's really a big deal. And my daughter and I like to do one of the water stops for that event because we see everybody we know down there. And it's really not that huge of a commitment. It's a lot of fun, especially if the weather's good. And we're going to do that again this year. And the good thing is that from 3 to 9 p.m., the Center of the Universe Brewing Company is having the after 10K race party. Not really something to bring an 11-year-old to, but definitely would be cool to go back down for that and get a growler and get a couple cold ones. And I did see on one of their websites a slogan, and I kind of liked it. It was "Local Suds, keep your beer local," and I thought that was kind of cool. So probably check that out. For every beer, $1 of the price goes to the Massey Cancer Center, and that's the water stop that I'll be working at, which is the Massey Cancer Center, which is affiliated with Medical College of Virginia. Also want to do a major shout-out to Dave Williams of Mechanicsville for helping me out through the 18-miler the other day. I mentioned this earlier in the podcast. It just seemed like it went by with nothing. So I appreciate that, Dave. Appreciate you running a little bit slower pace than you're used to, and I'll get the Colonial 200 movie out to you shortly. As soon as I'm able to get to the post office, I'll mail that to you. And again, appreciate you coming out and meeting me up there. And I know you're not available for my 20 miler this weekend, it'll go by a lot slower than running the 18 with you. But I just cannot believe how quick that 18 miles went. So I appreciate you meeting me out there. And all right, let's get to the email bag section of the show and see who checked in this week. All right, as mentioned earlier, heard from Dr. Smitty, and he did the Shamrock 8K and the half marathon down there. Did the 8K with his son Patrick, and not a PR or anything. Said he hadn't done any speed work in quite some time. But he said his son's definitely getting faster. Although Greg, I think a 1:34 and a half marathon is still pretty good, and it looks like he's gonna be a pacer at the Swamp Stomp half dismal Swamp Stomp the Dismal Swamp Stomp half marathon, which something my wife did a couple years ago. It's an excellent event, great for spectating too if you have a runner that you're going down to support, because you can get in the car and head down pretty much each part of the course and get pretty close to support your runner. And there's bleachers at the finish line where you can get up high and see them come in, see that person come in. That's a great event. And also Greg will be coming up for the Railroad Run. And I expect some big things from you this year, Greg. The course record is 33:57, so if you really turn it on, you might be able to, you know, challenge that. I don't know, not sure what your 10K PR time is, but I'm looking forward to having you come up here, and definitely I'll save some work after the race for you to help me if you want to help me take the big town tent down. I always look for some help with that. So definitely looking forward to that. I also heard from Neil over at the Lumberjacks blog, which is tk421.blogspot.com, and he's got a podcast over there as well. Neil's just curious to know about the graveyard, why so few runners ran it, and I think what it is, Neil, is it's a dismal time of year to be down in the Outer Banks with the wind, and especially this with the course this year being that it had to turn around. A lot of people didn't finish, and although the 100K really is not a big attraction. For whatever reason, it's kind of the redheaded stepchild of the event. It always is when you have a, and I really don't have any experience to base this on except for the graveyard. But you know, if you have an event that's a 100-miler, you know, unless it's called 100K, I mean, people are coming for the 100-miler. They're not necessarily coming for the 100K. Last year, I think there's only 14 finishers. And I was a 10th one of that, and then the 100 mile is really what the people are coming down there for. And it's very possible some people just didn't show up. I haven't crunched any of the numbers or anything to see what the percentages were, but I do know that the race director purposely brags about how misleading the course is. People think, oh, it's flat, it's by the beach, you know, how hard can that be, it's on the road. Well, you're dealing with crosswinds and headwinds and sand in your shoes and just chapped conditions, and I think that makes it harder. A couple of people that finished the 100-miler commented on that, because I was at the finish line for the whole thing for minus about 4 hours when I took a nap, and you know, people had a hard time with it, and they should, rightly should. You know, 100 miles should be hard. Maybe someday I'll try it, we'll see. So Neil, thanks for the email as always. Appreciate you listening to the show, and I'm looking at your blog right now. You definitely got a good sense of humor. You ought to check this guy's blog out. It's TK, the numbers 42, and then one.blogspot.com, and it's called the Lumberjack. And I'm a lumberjack and I'm okay, but be warned. I drink like a horse, sweat like a pig, spit like a camel, and swear like a sailor. And it has a disclaimer at the beginning. So that's my kind of blog. So Neil, appreciate you. You listening to the show. It's always good to hear from you. I heard from Sandy. And, yeah, less than a month to go to the Blue Ridge, Sandy. Definitely looking forward to running with you that day. I sent you that email talking about how I did the 16-mile and totally wiped me out. But the 18-miler was a huge confidence builder. And, of course, I got a 20-miler this weekend. And then I'm kind of doing a modified taper. Not really. I'm kind of training right up to the marathon, but I'll be rested. So looking forward to seeing you there. And looks like you said you just did a 50K training run with a friend, and that was March 23rd. Yeah, 50K training run. Okay. I guess you're getting ready to probably do another 100-miler. It looks like you're doing the Martian Marathon, which is local to you. And I guess that's probably this past weekend. And then the Blue Ridge. So yeah, we'll have fun with it. Looking forward to seeing you there, and appreciate you checking in. And this next one here is a message that I found on the website, ashlanddave.podbean.com, and I'm not sure if I've ever responded to this guy. His name is Mark Evanson out of Keensburg, Colorado. So Mark, if you ever got the DVDs, would you please email me at ashlanddave@gmail.com. and let me know if I did honor your request, because I have not kept a log or anything of the people that I sent them to. And your email says here that you want to get the DVD, and I just want to make sure that you got it. So hopefully I'll hear from you. AshlandDave@gmail.com. That's for Mark Evanson out of Kingsburg, Colorado. I don't have your email. It wasn't captured when you left the message on the website, so I hope that you will email me at AshlandDave@gmail.com and let me know if I've honored your request. And what I'll do is I will hold your email in the hopper until the next show in case I don't hear from you. I'll maybe hear from you in the next one. I heard from Dave from Down Under, and he said that he got all the DVDs of the Ultras, and he sent some of his funny money off to the Aces charity, which I really appreciated. And Dave also says that he finished a 50K race called the Convicts and the Winches, which was in Tasmania, Australia. And you're not going to believe this. He said, unfortunately, he had a colonoscopy 2 days before the race, and as a result, he was severely dehydrated. Yeah, mental image there. Don't really want to go there. But Dave goes on to saying, after 40 kilometers, he was feeling spiritly, but at 41K, he was a goner. Severe cramps, unquenchable thirst forced him into a walking and a shuffling. But hey, he finally got to the finish, and he wasn't a DFL, which stands for D blank and last. He said it was a wonderful course along four beaches over a few headlands, which are a big technical, and I'm guessing headlands in Australia are probably some hills. So now he is training for the 200-kilometer charity run, which is in September of 2013. It's to raise funds for Cure Cancer, which is a charity very close to his family's heart, having lost a daughter to this dreadful disease a few years ago. So, yes, Dave, thank you very much. And why don't you... okay, you did leave the website here. The run's website is at www.200kms4acure.com, and he's asked if I would put a link on my site for the page to have advertise the goal of raising $20,000 Australian. And yes, definitely keep me posted, Dave. I appreciate that. And that actually segues right into my discussion with Steve Buoni, who is raising funds for Crohn's disease research, and I'm going to put his link on my site as well. And I'm trying to set up that interview now. I sent him an email this morning asking him if he's available this week, and I'd like to interview him in reference to running with Crohn's disease, to see how he handles some of the things that come up that a lot of us probably take for granted. And he's a distance runner, and anyway, I'm trying to set that up for the next show, so we'll get to that. So everybody that checked in this week, really do appreciate that. Getting emails from people all over the world is always a treat, and especially what's neat is that you see people are doing really the same things you're doing, different parts of the planet, and sometimes just have a little different perspective. You can always learn from that. Well, that is the podcast for this week. I will be back in 2 weeks to 15, 16 days with another episode, hopefully the interview with Steve. Otherwise, I'll come up with another topic. I'll do a breakdown of the Ashland Railroad Run, probably comment some on the water stops, the water stop effort at the Monument Avenue 10K. I'm going to throw this out there. If you ever have the opportunity to work a water stop at an event that has 40,000 people plus, that is a hell of an experience. You really don't appreciate how many people 40,000 is until they come past you. And you're guaranteed to see lots of people that you know, and they see you first, and they definitely come right up to you. You don't have to look for them, because they find you, especially when you're handing out water. And the cool thing about it is you get to see the elite runners just really run past, and of course you always see the last place people. This is Ashland Dave, and I'm running in the center of the universe, Ashland, Virginia, reminding you to run to the finish and keep on running, and don't forget to hug your kids. Y'all have a good week.
The 2013 Ashland Railroad Run. Come race the rail in Ashland, Virginia. Join us on Saturday, April 27th for the 35th annual running of one of Virginia's oldest road races alongside the tracks and through the historic town of Ashland, Virginia. The center of the universe. The certified 10K race is a favorite spring ritual among runners from around the Commonwealth and beyond. It's a great race for setting a PR. There's also a 5K fun run and a 1 mile kids race. The kids race has cool prizes. Join hundreds of your friends and come to the center of the universe on April 27th and race the rail. If you're lucky, you might be able to run alongside a huge moving train. For more information, go to hanoverarts.org or email ashlanddave@gmail.com. You can also go to Race It and type railroad in the search box. I was a 5K marshal last year and will be again this year, so I can't wait. Run Ashland first.
See you there.
Blue didn't say anything.
Thank you.